Let's read further in the scriptures, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And notice verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now I want you to notice the Lord's answer in verse 4. And he answered and said, It is written. I want to notice those three words. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Oh, now look at Satan's going to say it. For it is written, saith Satan, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands he shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yeah, he quoted that correctly, too. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Verse 10, For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now I could have read many places in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, most particularly in the New Testament, to grasp this thought and hopefully bring it to the attention of everyone in our meeting tonight. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said three times how he would answer the tempter with those words from Scripture. And he could say, It is written, it is written, it is written. Now one of the reasons that we have these meetings and come together to meet as we do is to proclaim what's the Lord. What does the Bible say? And you know, this is the responsibility of every Christian, to witness for Christ and to make the gospel known. I said it in other nights and I want to say it again, that God hasn't invested that responsibility and privilege to the angels of heaven. Rather, he's chosen those who have been lost in sin and know the weight of guilt, and know the joy of redemption. And he uses us to go back and to witness and testify to the saving grace of God and to the blessings that are obtained in receiving Christ as Savior. I often liken it, you know, to the Alcoholics Anonymous. They say the ones that work best for that outfit are those that have been on that drink and know what it is to be in its power, and know what it is to have their life ruined, and know what it is to come to an end of themselves completely. And then, of course, if they're cured from that malady, then they're able to go back and witness so much better to those that have that problem and that difficulty, something like that in the gospel. So anything we say tonight, believe me, I just want to say it's just from one redeemed sinner to another sinner, that there's life in the look at the crucified one, and that it's a real thing to know Christ and to have the assurance of sins forgiven, and you can know it. And you can know it tonight, listen, on the authority of what is written. There is such a thing as everlasting life. A businessman I used to call on when I was working, he was a customer, and we often used to talk on these things. One of those men easy to talk to. You know, there's so many and they're not easy to talk to. As soon as they believe, think you're going to speak on spiritual things, why, there's a wall goes up. There's just a coolness and a stiffness right away. And they run scared. Or they're suspicious. But this is a man I could talk to any of. I could walk into his shop tomorrow and right away we could be right into the conversation about the matters you heard about tonight. Not too many like that. There are some. One occasion we're sitting in his office and we're going through it. And finally he stood up. And for the first time I saw anger. Brother talked about being mad. I saw his chin, his jaw, just set so, you know. And the look in his eyes I'd never really seen before. And he says, Bill, he says, why is it, he says, every time I ask you something, you say, well, the Bible says, or it says, or God's word. He says, I don't want to hear what it says. I want to know what you say. I don't know what he thinks. I want your opinion. I sat there for a moment, you know, and you could have kind of, I think, cut the tension there for a moment with a knife almost. You know, I was sitting down, he was standing up. And then I started to laugh. I know, Jim, listen. If you only knew how foolish that sounds to me. You don't want to hear what is written. You want to hear what I have to say. Just a mortal making his way in life, the same as yourself. Listen, we're not here tonight to give some kind of doctrine that we've conjured up, or some new form of religion. They're springing up all the time, you know. But in the fear of God, we want to tell you faithfully what is written. What is written. And I stand challenged, and after the meeting, anything I've said, if you don't feel it's right, bring it to my attention, and if I can't show you where it's written, I haven't got a right to quote it or apply it. I want to be as true and as faithful as I know how to bring before your heart and your conscience tonight what is written. That's all that matters. I don't care who you, the philosophers you bring along, or the lawyers, or the doctors, or the professors. There's one soul, limited, basis of authority, and that's what is written between the pages of this book, and I believe it right from the first chapter of Revelation to the last, first chapter of Genesis, to the last chapter of Revelation, the Holy Scriptures. And all we want to do is bring before your hearts. Listen, there's young people here tonight, and I can remember at the age of 6 years of age, 6 years old, I could tell you the first memory verse I learned. And it was Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, just the first part. The wages of sin is death. And I took that home and my father taught it to me. And my father couldn't have found Genesis in the Bible at the time.
If you ask him about Revelation, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. And I remember the word I couldn't understand was wages. I had no idea what that meant. And my dad, who shoveled coal for a living, he told me what wages were. That on payday you get an envelope, and there's money in the envelope, and that's your wages for your work. I learned that. Never forgotten that. And then next Sunday we learn the second part of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, is there young people here tonight, and you could say that verse through letter perfect? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, it's written. It's in the book. It's in the scriptures. It's worth learning. You know, I've been disappointed. I could almost use stronger language and say just a little bit disgusted, really. Young people today, and we come in with these programs, you know, usually around Christmas time or awards day or something, and children are brought up on the platform to say the scriptures. And I'll just use the word disappointed, to be polite. But really disappointed how poorly they do. I think we're living in a day there's other forms of entertainment and time is taken up, or maybe the parents are just not interested in working with them. But the young people are not memorizing scripture. Certainly not like they did when I was young. I hate to say, young person, I know you get tired of hearing that at home, don't you? But it's true, you know. I can remember young people getting up there, reciting the whole chapter, 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And if they didn't say it letter perfect, they didn't get their prize. I could never do that. I tried. And I would always have a slip somewhere, and I never got the prize. But there were those that could do it. Young person, get the Word of God into your mind and into your heart and into your soul. It'll do thee good. Paul said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And that's exactly what happened in my case. I just scooped in off the street, Sunday school four blocks away, just went with the other kids, you know. And I learned two things in Sunday school. If I didn't learn anything else, there was two things I did learn. One of them was this, that if I wasn't, quote, saved, I would never be in heaven. And the second thing I learned was that I wasn't saved. And I tell you, if there's anyone tonight and you learn those two things, you've done well in the meeting tonight to learn those two things. People don't like to hear what is written. You know, the attitude of the world around us is something like, my mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't be a disturber. Brother was talking about stirring up the people. This is what's wrong with the world. The world needs to be stirred up. And some of the realities, not only of time, but of eternity. And they like to go on in their slumber. And in their ignorance. You know, what is written in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, is just like a map. And shows us the way to heaven. I mentioned that to a friend once, and he come back with a retort, you know. He says, well, how come it is that there's so many people have a different way of getting there, if it's the same map? And I've got an answer for that. I didn't at the time. I remember going into the Guildford Mall, in a big, huge place, and I
first time, I had no idea where I was. But I knew they'd have one of those directors, one of those maps, you know, all set out. And I looked it up and got there, and the retail store I was looking for, the number was on it. You know, you use them. I couldn't have found it yet, not by that number. Why couldn't I? Because I didn't know where I was. And then I looked for the big letters, you know, and it's printed right on it. You are here, and an arrow. Oh, yes, here. This is the trouble now. When people go into the scriptures and they get into the confusion, the trouble, they really don't want to get located and admit in their hearts, I am here. The first thing you do when you look at a map, and believe me, the first thing you want to do when you want to know the way to heaven is get located and find out exactly where you are now. And when it's written that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, don't like that. Reject it. And there's a mental block, and somehow we wash it through. When it says, for there is none that doeth good and sinneth not, no, not one, is discounted. And yes, somewhere they've heard the words of Christ, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we kind of filter that one down. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I'm just speaking from experience. Going back to that Alcoholics Anonymous thing, going back to that redeemed sinner thing, I just know what it is to do it precisely that myself in my young years. And the Bible says, it is written, as face answers to face in water, so the heart of man to man. We're not that different, you know. Different cultural backgrounds and education status and numerous experiences and all the rest of it. But when it all comes down to it, we've got precisely the same heart and nature and the same sinful capabilities and the same pride and deceit. And we have that rejection for what is written. What is written? It is written. We would to God tonight that we give ear to what is written tonight. This is what the Lord Jesus meant when he stood at the heart's door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is how we hear the voice of God, through what is written. What is written in the scriptures. And so many times we get the expressions in the Bible. What saith the scriptures? So saith the scriptures. According to the scriptures. What is written? What saith it? Time and time again, Peter and Paul and John and Matthew and Christ refer time and time again. It is written what it says, fulfilling the scriptures. This is the everything. And if we're only here standing here tonight and have some form of a religion or some form of a creed or some form of a doctrine, we really shouldn't be taking up the time of you fine people tonight. And we want to bring before your hearts and conscience what is written. Marvelous things written in this book. It tells us clearly and distinctly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It makes it soundly clear that he is God manifest in flesh. It makes it soundly clear that the Lord Jesus, when he came into the world to save sinners. it is written. Concerning his deity, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this Christ, this is the one we declare in the gospel. This is the one that came. It is written, the words of Christ Himself. He came into the world. That's very important. There are those, you know, that have it in their mind somehow that Christ began at Bethlehem as the babe. Not so. And you can understand it from what is written. Christ Jesus came into the world. God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We know and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, when it's coming into the world, and it's being sent into the world, incarnate existence, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not God, we've no Savior, we've no salvation, we've no eternal life, and we've no hope. Modern day sex, they say, tell us, you know, that Christ is with one of the archangels, one of the highest form of created beings. That's not written in the Bible. It is written, Colossians chapter 1, that by Him all things consist. He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. And this is the one we declare. And it's written in the book. And I'll tell you, I would tremble. Knowing what I do of this book, I would tremble to be in the shoes of a man or a woman who was living daily in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are no small things. These are weighty things. These are memorable things. And I want to tell you their truth. Would to God, he that heareth my voice and believeth on Him that sent me. Is there one tonight? You'll hear His voice. Maybe you've heard His voice in times past. Close your ears. We're here tonight to urge you. And plead with you. And pray. In Christ's stead. As ambassadors for Christ. Be reconciled to God. Maybe you've heard it in many ways. Sickness and disappointment in life and crises. The Lord Jesus, you know. The invitation still stands. It is written. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's written that way. It is written, hear, and your soul shall live. It is written in the Word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. It's written. If I gave you those verses, you could, I don't care who gives, where you get them from. Not worth it. If it's not written, if it's not in the scriptures. I'll give you the assurance, you can read it yourself. It's John chapter 5 and verse 24. There it's written. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thank God for that. It's written. I just want to close with the assurance of salvation. I want to say what the scripture says regarding it. Just one or two of the scriptures, things that are written of God, put there for us. Maybe you're not aware of it. Maybe you don't know these things even exist in the scriptures. You don't know what's written. The Lord later on in that same book, you know, speaking to his disciples, he says, do you not know what is written in the scriptures? And he goes on and quotes from the Psalms. Two chapters later is again, the next chapter he speaks again. He says to his accusers, he says, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Paul writing about Israel, he said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And I want to quote that verse again in 1 Timothy. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. Listen, I'm going to close. And I want to tell you two statements that are written. Written of God in his holy book. One of them is the words of John the Baptist. It is written. It's in John's Gospel chapter 3. And it's the last verse in the chapter. It's verse 36. You read it for yourself now. It is written. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I like to ask people this way. There's two parts to that verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Which part of the verse are you in? Kindly now, earnestly, we must be honest. The world out there is full of uncertainties, and when it comes down to these matters, they like to leave it kind of hanging in the air. And the more insecurity or vagueness about it, the happier they seem to be. And really don't want to wrestle with the thing and get it down and look it in both eyes. It is written. It is written. It is written. I'll quote one more verse. It's in that same chapter. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is written, John 3, and verses 15, 16, and 17. Let me just quote. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the next verse says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And if there's anyone here tonight, age of maturity, and you have never believed, men love darkness rather than light. And the reason is because their deeds are evil. Thank God for the blessedness of a forgiving God. I want to tell you, isn't it good news that the God of heaven is kind and merciful and loving? I'm so pleased at that. I sometimes my fantasy, my wonders, I think to myself, what if it had been otherwise? What had been an austere, distant God who didn't love us and really was waiting to pounce upon our sin and deal with us, and there was no mercy and there was no love and there was no forgiveness. What a dark hope and miserable existence. But in the gospel, it's light and life and liberty and forgiveness and joy and assurance. It's written. It's written in the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee again for our coming together tonight. Thank Thee for each one who have had an exercise of heart to make their way to this place. And our Father, we do bless Thee and thank Thee for the written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. Bless Thee, our Father, that it declares a loving Savior who stands at the heart.